Trinity.
Trinity?
It's most holy Trinity.
I don't know. Oh, it is.
You haven't even looked at the readings.
I read them this morning.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Did you read the right ones?
Oh, yeah, I definitely did. I just didn't read that part of it. Welcome back to another recording, the podcast of Beef and Slim. My name is Slim, also known as Kyle Kuckelman. The newly married Kyle Kuckelman.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, how's that?
It's good. I'll explain more later.
Good. Well, I'm Father Adam, a.k.a. Beef.
Speaking of which, the Most Holy Trinity.
What?
Nothing.
I'm so lost. So you were laughing when you started that. And somebody's commented how we're oftentimes laughing because you just hit record whenever we're doing stuff. But we were doing nothing. There was 20 seconds of silence before we started recording. And you just started giggling.
I've been recording for like 3 minutes.
Of course you have. All right. Tell us about your being married.
It's been good. It's been 2-3 days. So that's nice.
And despite a lot of odds, it actually happened.
It's actually, yep.
You tried to screw it up at the time.
I did almost screw it up. Well, didn't almost, I definitely did. Definitely said some of the wrong words.
But we fixed it.
Yeah, everything got fixed and it's good. We got her all moved in, our house. It's weird, like I've been living at this house since February, more or less by myself, and haven't really done anything to make it feel like a home. And you know, now that she's there, it kind of feels like a home. It's kind of nice.
Good.
Yeah. So that's good.
So you guys go to Mass together on Sunday?
We did. Went over to St. Agnes.
Anybody make a big deal about it? Go, ooh, aw.
Nobody knows who we are there yet. So.
But you're failing.
Well, we've only gotten to Mass there three
you
times.
You and the singular are failing. She's just moved there, so she gets a buffer.
You're such a jerk.
You keep talking about community and how we need to have community.
Yeah.
Which I agree with.
Okay, so our goal, I'm going to tell you right now. Our goal is by, after Steubenville, we're meeting with Father Bill over there at St. Agnes so that we can start a young adult Bible study. So, there you go. You can hold me to this.
Taking you too long.
I'm just kidding. Planning a
That's
wedding.
Good.
It's by far, like, one of the most stressful things was, like, the last 2 days of that wedding stuff.
You should try being the priest that had to witness it.
You just had to stand there and
You made it hard.
I did not. My nephew did.
Yeah, he did make it hard.
Okay, so I got to tell you this cool story that happened from the wedding. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Okay, so the wedding was awesome. Father did a great homily, blah, 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 all those nice things I'm supposed to say about him.
Aww.
But... So I have a whole bunch of buddies that were there from high school and college that I think they would say they believe in a God. They just, the Christian God probably is not the one that they would default to. I think they'd be more agnostic than anything else. But a couple of them came up to me after the Mass or like at the reception and were talking to me about the Mass. They haven't been to a Catholic Mass ever. But how many teens do you think were at the wedding, Father?
I didn't really count. I talked to probably a dozen after.
There were a lot of teens.
I know there were more.
Yeah.
But because they sat over on the side.
I think there were, one person estimated 50 to 75 teens.
I could easily see that. Because they had that whole section.
Yeah, that whole.
I was focusing down the middle and mostly at you two because you two kept asking, what do we do now?
We didn't know.
Stand up, kneel. Because you didn't, you know why you don't know?
I wasn't paying attention during rehearsal.
At the rehearsal were, I don't even know what you'd call it, but videoing for Snapchat.
I was Snapchatting.
Does it still just call it Snapchatting if you're taking video?
I don't know. I don't understand.
It's not very snappy if you're videoing. Anyway, that's why you didn't know what was going on.
The point is, these college buddies of mine were really impressed. There were two songs that the musician played that our teens knew really, really well and were just belting it. I mean, just really letting it go. And they were, it was just a good witness of the Mass. Like, it was just really cool. Like
good participation at the Mass.
Yeah, and like that these guys who have never been to a Catholic Mass recognize the beauty of the teens singing. It was just really neat.
Cool.
So that's my cool story of the wedding, and I mean there were a lot more cool things. I didn't cry when I saw Monica. I was really proud of myself.
To be honest, I thought you were gonna bawl.
I was real close. I was like, I had that, you know, where you try to suck back tears. That thing. I had that going on big time. Did you cry when you saw me?
I did. I was like, crap, it's really going to happen.
She didn't run away.
I lost some money on that bet. I'm just kidding.
No, father. He's silly willy.
It's fun stuff. No, it was a good day.
It was. It was. I had a good time. And I'm just really glad that we're married. What are you doing, man? You're just in the most awkward position I've ever seen.
I'm not comfortable today.
All right, let's start these readings.
Let's do it. Think?
All right, so our first reading is Proverbs 8, 22 through 31. The second reading is Romans 5, 1 through 5, which, by the way, I have a ton of questions and just crazy cool second reading. Anyway, we'll get to that. And the gospel is John 16, 12 through 15. This is the Solemnity of Most Holy Trinity, which is pretty cool that I just got married, and this is going to be the Holy Trinity. And
because why is that cool?
Because the marriage is the perfect, the most accurate representation of the Holy Trinity here on earth that we have.
Absolutely.
That's what and John Paul II said, right?
What?
That's what St. John Paul II said?
That sounds about right.
Okay. Somebody smarter than us.
Where does
said
that come
it.
From?
Jesus.
Before.
Holy Spirit.
Early. Well, I mean, yes, because it's God.
Adam and Eve.
Yeah. The image and likeness of God.
Yeah.
Which, again, if you listen to my homilies, you know I talk about that. If you listen to my classes, I bring it up in almost everything I teach.
If you listen to him talk, he says that. Just everything he says.
Because it's so awesome.
Image and likeness of God. Blah, 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 blah. That was you.
I think I'm a little lower than that, but yeah, pretty much.
No, that's about right. All right, let's get into this. These readings, Father.
Okay.
Do you want me to move the table,
no,
man?
No, I think we're good. People would
You're
know.
Never getting out of this position. I just
easily.
Need everyone to know. Like, if Father doesn't report for Sunday Mass, it's because he's still down here.
Oh, no, I'm
stuck.
Reporting because I got to say Mass, and then I'm on vacation.
Oh, that's right. Oh, speaking of that, that's a great lead-in. Great transition, Father. Next week, Father and I will not be recording. It'll be me and someone that I can con into recording with me. So, Father
so
won't be
hard.
Here. What's that?
So pray hard.
Yeah, definitely pray hard because you don't want another Peter and Barabbas situation.
Yeah, feel free to double check anything that comes out of Kyle's mouth if I'm not here to save him.
Yes, agreed.
And yeah, I still don't catch all of this stuff. It's fun.
Yeah.
And then after that, hopefully I'll be working with somebody else and
yeah,
I'll email you something and hopefully it'll come in.
Cool.
When you're on your honeymoon. So the timing might be bad on the part.
Yeah,
the
timing
posting.
May not be right on.
Which is also why my homily's not up yet, because you got married and you wanted a day or two with your wife.
You're right. I did. And it was wonderful.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the Proverbs.
All right.
You should listen to Proverbs. There's good stuff in Proverbs for a married couple.
Yeah, I noticed. All right. So, Father, first question I have for you in Proverbs. Who is speaking?
This is the first line, Kyle.
No, but
thus
okay.
says the wisdom of God.
But who is that in the person of Trinity?
So that is oftentimes attributed to Jesus Christ.
Oh, see, I thought it
Trinity.
Was the Holy Spirit.
And there are other times you do it. And this is, there are other parts of Proverbs that some scholars will attribute it to it. But this here in the 8th chapter, especially if you look at the entire chapter, which is tied in, I think, with chapter 1, part of 1, when it's this personification of wisdom is a strong connection to the beginning of John's gospel. And so there's this great connection of how, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything was created through it. So you've got the tie-in with the creation at the beginning of time, but also the new creation that comes as a result of Christ and his Paschal mystery. And so in these personifications here, it's oftentimes attributed to Christ because of the strong connections that are there. And the other parts of Proverbs, when it's not personified as directly, but it's talking about what wise people do and how wisdom is there, sort of to assist us in a more roundabout way than some of the scholars go with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I just thought it was the Holy Spirit. I thought it was the Holy Spirit, and can I explain my reasoning why?
Mm-hmm.
Because of that first line, the wisdom of God, I attributed that to, not fruits of the Holy, is it gifts of the Holy Spirit? That wisdom
there
is one?
There are gifts of the Holy Spirit, yeah.
That wisdom is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's why I thought it was the Holy Spirit speaking.
That would make sense.
It could be an argument.
It could be an argument. And this is what you have to remember, too. And so when we talk about the Trinity, this is sort of a terrifying time to preach.
I was just about to ask you about this.
Because you can easily fall into heresy.
So I will not speak on it. I'll let you.
It's so hard to talk about the Trinity. But whenever you talk about the Trinity, so we talk about there are three persons and one God. And so we talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Son we know is Jesus Christ, if you didn't know that. And so whenever one person of the God is there, you can't separate those persons because they're a part of the God. So God is all there, always there, but there's still those three distinct persons. But because they are the one God, there's going to be similarities. There's going to be things that they share in common. So God is love. It's an eternal exchange of love, but there's that specific thing between the lover, the beloved, and the love. So, you know, look at the Father's love to the Son.
Yeah.
Son receives it, returns it to the Father. The love is so real, it's the Holy Spirit, which is what you and Monica are called to do as married persons.
Yeah.
And so there's a reason why you could easily see similarities between it.
Okay, so how does this fit into, why is this reading part of the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity? Is it because it's foreshadowing the Son?
I think so.
Okay.
Because, and that's, it's the hard thing. That was the big thing that the early church had to wrestle with, was especially those who were Jews. You know, it wasn't as big of a deal for the Gentiles who had multiple gods. They took more of, from my understanding, it was easier for them to grasp three persons.
Yeah.
And then to go from three persons, it was hard for them to get to the one God.
Okay.
For the Jews, who understood one God very well, it was hard for them to understand how were there three persons in one God, which is still hard for us to wrap our mind around. We've got 2,000 years of guidance of the Holy Spirit and theological discussion to help us do it more accurately, but it's still not
well,
good.
And I was talking with a staff member right before we started recording this, actually my new boss, Martha, but we were talking about how whenever you start talking about the Holy Trinity and how it's the mystery of the Holy Trinity, people often just say, well, it's a mystery, so we'll never understand. Well, that's not true. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, is to have a greater understanding, at, like, in little by little. And she brought up a cool argument, the idea of being married. Like, you can be married for 50 years, but every day you might be learning something new about your spouse.
Yep.
And it's just through understanding, just through the Holy Spirit giving you the opportunity to understand better. And so I thought that was a cool way. Granted, God is infinite, so you'll never understand completely.
You'll never fully understand the mystery.
But you shouldn't ever just rely on, you shouldn't ever just say, oh, well, it's a mystery, so we'll never know.
Like, yeah, and this is actually one of the things I thought about starting my homily with, just to try to get at that, is, so you just got married.
Yes.
And you know I love going to the marriage image.
Yes.
So if I said, tell me why you love Monica, and you could give me a couple answers, probably, I'm not going to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I got one.
Okay.
I mean, off the top of my head. Sorry, that was super.
Yeah, so there's a quick initial.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can dance at it right away.
Yeah.
But if you were to sit with that and, you know, mull it over, you know, which I'm sure part of is what you'll be doing the next several weeks, you continue to, it's the same thing, same truths, but they're, you know, different aspects of it. It's a different understanding. You could sit with that and continue to go deeper for a long time. And if I were to ask you the same question 25 years from now, God willing, you're not dead, it would be the same thing, but even more so. You'd have an even greater understanding of that love.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with with any of our mysteries, but here the Trinity specifically. We can say specific things about it. And as we as a church, for time, continue to sit with these mysteries, we can better, by God's grace, define what we understand and what we know to be a reality.
Yeah. All right, cool. So do you have anything else in Proverbs you want to hit?
I mean, it's all the creation stuff, and so it's all awesome.
There's no real, like, oh, this is the line that you need to focus on. The whole it's really the idea of what this verse is.
And I would encourage, as I always do, encourage reading the readings, but sit with just this one, because it says, when the Lord established the heavens, I was there. When he marked out the vault over the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, and just all the different aspects of creation, just sort of sit with that with your morning coffee in the quiet of your house or your porch or whatever. But to enter into just sort of the magnitude of, you know, we've got all this stuff, but God created it. At one point, it wasn't there.
And I was just thinking, like, when you said with your morning coffee, so I'm going to my farm this weekend. I was thinking about just, like, on Saturday morning, waking up at my farm with this reading on my heart, like, as the sun's rising, you know, the birds are chirping, all that stuff. That's powerful if you take the time to be with it, not just to read it and move on.
Yeah, I had a... You know, I go on an individual retreat every year, and I went to one in Alabama last year, my first year of priesthood. My favorite thing to do is go get my morning coffee, take my breviary, which is my liturgy of the hours, my promise prayer to pray each day. I took my breviary down and sat on this back porch and just saw these rolling hills with a lot of green, the sun coming up, and it was where the morning was still pretty cool. There was some dew. You needed a light jacket. It just was beautiful to enter into the beauty of creation with the prayers, 'cause our morning prayers have that theme of creation.
Of creation, yeah.
It's awesome.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. Okay, we can move on.
Yeah, so do that.
All right.
Go do it.
Let's move on to second reading, Romans. Oh, wait, I had a question for you in the psalm. I know we don't usually talk about the psalm, but I read it this morning.
Uh-oh.
I have a question. Okay. So the second stanza, first line, is you have made him little less than the angels. And oh, yeah. I did not ask Father about this in pre-show.
Nope, because I have to pull up the reading right now.
So I'm going to stall for a second. Stall.
Yeah, so what was it again? Read it again.
You have made him little less than the angels. So second stanza, line one.
What's your question?
Is this psalmist referring to Jesus or the human person? Because I don't know. I just don't know.
The way I would read that is it's the humans.
The human person?
Yeah, humanity.
But can it also be Christ because Christ was fully human?
You could. I mean, especially when you read the other things that it says there, you've crowned him with glory and honor, yeah. You've given him rule in terms of his humanity. But those are the same things that were given to Adam in the garden. He had dominion over all of creation, over all the earth, which is why it's not wrong to eat a hamburger, right? Because animals and stuff are there for our benefit.
Yeah. So that's referring to Christ and man?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious. I just wanted to see what
Now, of course, we say that Jesus is, and you would say this, but I want to say clearly that you have made him little less than angels, that is not Christ. Now, you could talk about that being in his canonic hymn, his self-emptying, which we've talked about before.
That's what I meant, yeah.
He pours himself out to the point where he is fully human.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's all I wanted. We can move on to the second reading.
Yep.
You good?
Uh-huh. I just wanted to look at something.
Okay.
But yeah, it's mostly, I'd say mostly overall look at that in terms of humans.
Well, and isn't the psalm like our response?
Yeah, it is our response the first reading is always tied in with the gospel, but the psalm is sort of what our response is or should be to what we just heard. So the magnificence of so there you go. The magnificence of what we see Christ in Proverbs is we get to share in that. We're not just chopped liver.
Yeah.
We get to share in that. We get to cultivate it by works of the Holy Spirit, which we celebrated last week at Pentecost, which is why you got to tie all these feasts together. Because technically, it's cool. We're in ordinary time now, but we still get a couple celebrations. A
couple of cool feast days.
Of awesome feast days on our Sundays.
All right. Second reading, Romans 5, 1 through 5. I really like this one. Man, I got something in my throat. I really like this one, but I wanted to hear what you had to say about it first before I go on, because you probably hit it smarter and faster than me.
No, I don't know about that.
Well, maybe not faster. You are very polished.
Sometimes I take my time. So Paul is talking about the faith here. So he talks about, he puts the goal out first. So just to look at this chapter, we've been justified by faith. So if we have faith in Christ, we know that we're justified. We're in good shape. And we have peace through Jesus Christ, which we've been hearing throughout the Easter season. And we just heard again last Sunday. We've gained access by faith, and then he goes on to say we have hope, and then he says in our affliction and in our struggles, he says it gives us endurance, which gives us character, hope, and hope doesn't disappoint, and because the Holy Spirit is with us. So just a sort of little summation of what the Christian life looks like. So in the beginning, you know you love Jesus, and you've got everything that you need as a result of that. So sort of think of our baptism. And then through the trials of our life. So as I told you in your homily, you and Monica love each other, but you're going to be each other's crosses too. Mm-hmm. I talk about that in confession all the time. Mm-hmm. Family's a great gift, but it's also our cross. But it's only through those crosses and those struggles that we're able to grow. I mean, think of how many lessons you learn in the struggles of your life, whether it's, not making your baseball team or even when a close family member dies. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's not tragically, but even if it is, there are a lot of things that can be gleaned from that, such as the value of your life, and then how much more can we take that to the spiritual level if we take those spiritual sufferings and struggles of dryness in prayer or persecution or people making fun of us?
I have a question for you. What does it mean to boast of our afflictions?
Yep.
Like, maybe not what does it mean, but what does it look like? I'm going to let you talk while I refill coffees.
Okay, please do. To know that boast of our afflictions is to boast of, especially knowing all of Paul, I would say, the cross that we have. And so think of Christ in the Gospels. He keeps saying, I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer. And I'm going to suffer so that you guys may have life. And in some of the Gospels, he says, after resurrection stuff, he says, I'm eventually going to ascend to the Father. I'm going to leave you guys again so that something greater can happen, which means the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And so I think it's our sharing in that. and not in a, you know, proud focus on us way, but saying, you know, I've got these struggles and this is how I've been able to overcome them by God's grace. And so think of like the repentant alcoholic. You know, they don't go around telling everybody that they're an alcoholic, but when it's beneficial or helpful, they might confide in somebody, this is a struggle I went through. And as a result of it, I've been able to grow closer to God. I've got better self-control. Because when you're addicted to something, you don't have true freedom. You're a slave to whatever that might be. And so I think that's a part of what he's talking about. Does that at all get at what you were wanting me to?
Kind of. I just don't. I mean, I've been curious about this. I always say, like, carry your cross and, like, you know, like, I know that through sufferings, it leads us closer to Christ's sufferings on the cross, which then leads to all the things Paul's talking about in this reading. But, like, I don't know what it means to boast of our afflictions. Like, does the day, I mean, what's that look like? So, like, if I'm being persecuted, does that just mean to, if I'm being persecuted by someone for my beliefs, to boast in that persecution and that affliction, does that just mean to have faith that it's for some greater cause?
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying, though?
Like, yeah, and so some of it will be just having confidence that it's going to come, and the other is to know, or to be able to look back and see it. So he says, boast of, not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions. And then look at the rest of the sentence. Knowing that affliction produces endurance.
Yeah, I wanted to get to that part
next. But you have to understand, that's why we boast of our affliction. And so I've got my priest prayer group tomorrow, or Thursday. So we're going to get together, and, you know, we pray, we talk about the upcoming readings, and then we go through our state of life, and we are using the four pillars of seminary formation, our spiritual, human, intellectual, and pastoral. And so we'll talk about the goods, the bads, and the growths, you know, is sort of what we focus on, those three things. And so sometimes, like during Lent, you know, I was tired. And this year was better than last year, but one of my afflictions was I was so tired that somebody jokingly after one of the morning masses said, I thought you were having a seizure or a stroke because you couldn't speak well. It was 6:15 mass. Yeah. I was super tired. And it was someone I know, but I know I had that. And so I couldn't do my normal personal prayer. So if I did a holy hour, it was going to be just a holy nap, which it's one thing to fall asleep and so, have it happen, but it's another if you know it's going to happen every day for a couple of weeks. So you got to adjust. And so I talked about how I, through my Audible app, would listen to half an hour Fulton Sheen talks back from his Life is Worth Living or whatever the show was. And so I adjusted my prayer. So my affliction was I'm too tired to where people are worried about me when I'm celebrating Mass because they think I'm having a stroke and they might have to call an ambulance on me. But this is how I grew. And it's not what I wanted, but at the same time, there was a part of me that was rejoicing that I was able to work that hard for the sake of the kingdom, because there's always that joy in it. So I think that's, does that shed any more light on it?
Yeah.
Or do you not like it?
No, no, I think it does. It's, yeah, I think it does. So I, okay, so we boast of our afflictions, and then that leads us to endurance. How does that lead us to endurance?
Well, the afflictions do.
Yeah, oh.
Not the boasting.
But it's making it through the afflictions, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's well, and yeah, okay. So that leads, okay, I can understand that. How does endurance lead to proven character?
So if I keep showing up for 6:15 Mass on Monday morning, which, as I've said before, is my least favorite Mass of all the week because I'm the most tired, the more that I do that, the easier it gets, and I've proven my character that you can count on me to show up for 6:15 Mass.
Okay. So now how does proven character lead to hope?
Hope is that I can continue to grow.
Okay.
So if I can have the confidence, or if I can have the resolve to make it to 6:15 Mass there, I can have the resolve, hopefully, to get up in the middle of the night to go to the hospital or whatever.
Okay.
If I can do it there, I can do it elsewhere.
Okay, cool. Okay, the rest makes sense to me.
So, and yeah, and we can see that in any way. Those are just
simple, easy, let's see, that's four lines. Yeah, four or five lines. They sound really, really good, but unless you, like, stop to think about, like, what these things mean. And it's not just that hope. Yeah, afflictions will lead to hope, like, in the long run, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just this one affliction will lead to forever hope. It's every affliction you have will have to lead to hope. I'm going to mute your microphone.
I wasn't gonna
All right, you're good. Just go ahead and move. Are you good?
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry, my feet were falling asleep.
You're good. But the, I don't remember what I was saying.
Well, I had a thought.
Okay, go.
And so, like, my goal as a priest is when people see me and know what I do, they should get a glimpse of God the Father's love. It's, you know, if they know the days that are sometimes sacrificed. I talked to a guy half an hour in the gym parking lot yesterday in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Not my ideal thing of fun when I'm tired and can barely stand because of a good workout. But hopefully people, and I say this for the sake, this is what my role is. Not hopefully to be bragging, that's not my intention, but people should get a glimpse. Just as I said in your wedding homily, they see that, they should get a glimpse of it.
Which, so that's the thing that I was super proud of, or excited. I think proud. I don't know any other way to say it. When those teens were singing and my friends who don't go to church.
Yep, that was...
It was the perfect example of the Christian faith. Like,
in a way that you saying it as a youth minister couldn't affect it, and me as a priest, because I'm supposed to say that.
Yep. We never would have been able to get that message across, but those teens do living their life.
Because it's one thing for me to say, you should do this. It's another to say, that's what it looks like.
Yes.
There's a glimpse into
exactly.
what loving God is like.
Yes.
And so, too, because to go tie this into the Trinity, so with the first reading and what we're doing of the magnificence of Christ, are called to share in it. When we do this, we're carrying the cross of Christ. We're participating in the sufferings of Christ. And so think, all we needed of Christ was, you know, one drop of blood, is what our theologians say. So imagine what happens if Christ, the first whip, right? Or even the blood that's shed in the agony of the garden. If that is enough, he says, all right, that's enough. I'm done.
Yeah.
Right? We still have everything we need. And it would have, God could have done amazing things, but how much of it would we have lost or been able to tie into it where we see God himself completely pour himself out to where he's still pouring himself out after he's dead? And just, so, again, it's that image that we can give in our lives, I think, is part of why Paul is saying boast in it. People have to know about it. You know, sometimes your donors want to stay anonymous for big things. They don't want people to draw attention to themselves. But at the same time, there can be a benefit sometimes to saying, this person gave this much money. And they're in these circumstances. You're in better circumstances. Why can't you help these people just as much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so as long as the focus isn't to make myself look better, it's to try to help the body, the church, the people around us. It's a part of it's our intentionality of doing the action. Yeah. I think that's what Paul's trying to get at.
All right. Let's get on to John real quick. Excuse me. All right. I don't have anything on this one. This one confuses me. I like the truth.
Okay. Why do you like the truth?
I don't know. If you've been listening for a while, you know that, like, I am dumbfounded and still amazed by this idea of the Holy Spirit and how little we know or pray or just rely on the Holy Spirit. And I like that it's the Spirit of truth. Like, and he will guide. I mean, yeah. It's just so cool. So cool. It's just the Holy Spirit is just wrapped in this reading.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go ahead.
So this just came to my mind. I was going to go somewhere else. So John Bosco, at the end of his life, he was a saint. He worked with children and specifically boys in bordering schools and stuff. And he had some cool stories. Go read a biography of him. But at the end of his life, he said, had I known everything that was going to be demanded of me when I started, so if I would have known how tough my life was going to be at times, I never would have started. Like, if you said, your vocation is to go be this, I think he was a priest. Yeah,
yes.
Don. I want you to be a priest, and this is all the crap you're going to deal with, and you just see the laundry list of it. He said, I never would have done it.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I want you to be a priest to share my cross, but I'm not going to tell you what it looks like. Like, right now, if I were to tell you all the crap you and Monica are going to have to deal with,
no one's going to sign up.
You're not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that's a part of it here, because this is right around Christ's passion. It's in the heart of his sacrifice. And he says, I have much more to tell you, but you can't bear it now. And so you're going to have to do it, because one little commentary I read on this talked about how even though it's looking to, it uses language for the future, it's not necessarily saying a prediction of what's to come. It's understanding later what's already been said. So kind of like how Christ is able to bring a greater understanding of what happened with Abraham offering Isaac or the gifts of bread and wine from Melchizedek. So how you can bring those things to fruition. And Christ, you know, we see Christ saying, this is what you need to do, and the apostles don't get it till after the Pentecost, which we've talked about.
And is this pointing to the Pentecost?
I'd say so, because he's going to send the Spirit of truth, which is going to help further your knowledge of everything that's going on.
Yeah. Okay, keep going. I have a thing I want to look at.
I completely lost the sentence I was going to say. But they get the I don't remember. Didn't know what was going on, blah, blah, blah. But it's just that share of how we continue to grow in our life. Oh, and so like in my homily a week or two ago, Mother's Day, I at the end of it, when I talked about the mother's share of how I think they can be a witness of the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three persons mm-hmm. of the Trinity in different ways, it was something that just sort of hit me on my walk that morning. I was walking my dog before I went over to say Mass. And it was nothing, quote unquote, new. It was mm-hmm. in line with everything I said. It flowed perfectly, but it just sort of hit me. And it was, I say, a concrete grace of God to give that to me that morning, the beauty of my own mother, but of all mothers, our blessed mother in heaven, mm-hmm. Which I was unable to share through the homily. So it's also those realizations again. So as I said, you'll see your love for Monica grow. You'll see God's love for you through Monica grow as you continue to get married. It's going to be one of those things that continues to evolve.
Yeah.
And deepen as time goes on.
What is this? He will, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you.
I think
last two lines are confusing.
So it's talking about the magnificence of who we are. So this first one is, he'll take from what is mine and declare it to you, is those teachings. So I think a part of it is the teachings that he's given you that you don't yet understand.
That Christ has given to you,
mm-hmm.
but the Holy Spirit will help.
Yeah, will help you understand, will help truth. You put an application, yeah. okay. which we see the apostles, again, do at Pentecost, yep. and what we are still doing today
yeah.
in the church. And then everything that the Father has is mine. And so by virtue of Christ's sacrifice, by virtue of our baptism, we become adopted sons and daughters,
yep.
Which is why we call Christ our brother. And so we become sons and daughters of the Father. And I think that's what this is getting at. Everything the Father has is mine. And for this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. So all the glory that the Father has and love he has for his Son, he has for us.
I see what you're saying.
And so I think it's again, everything, because that's the cool thing about yeah. Jesus, or about God and all three persons, is their focus is never just on themselves. They're always wanting to go out, which is why they're community persons, which is why we have that natural tendency. Even an atheist has a tendency to want to do charitable things.
Yeah.
It's just written into themselves. And yeah. I think that's sort of what, I think that's what Paul, or John is getting at.
All right, cool. Ooh, you did a really good job explaining the gospel. Good job, Father.
That was the Holy Spirit, because that's not where my mind was when I read it earlier.
Really?
yeah. So see, that's the Holy Spirit yeah. doing
spirit,
what he just said.
The Spirit of truth.
That's what Jesus said was going to happen, and it just happened.
It just happened. I'm just amazed more and more and more by the idea of the Holy Spirit, and like what just happened. Like, we're all vessels of the Holy Spirit, and yet I feel like so often we don't. Like, just what if you had just said no to what just needed to be said yep. and instead went with what you originally were thinking? Like,
mm-hmm.
well, maybe it would have been good, but it may not have been what, I don't know. I'm just amazed by the Holy Spirit.
No, it's been where I've been, that's where I've been sitting. I'm going to have to talk about with my homily. I think mm-hmm. those are born where I had another conversation with somebody after one of the masses today, or not today, but on Sunday, of just how everybody underestimates. Like, if you knew what went on in my head when I'm preaching or yeah. before preaching.
And then what then comes out of your mouth.
What comes out.
Yeah.
It's and never any priest, if we happen to have a priest or deacon listening to this that does not record your homilies, record them and listen to them, and you will know how stuff makes it in there that you weren't planning on or it's said in a way that you never could have worded yourself.
Well, and I used to record all my, like, the talks I would give at youth group and stuff, and I remember one time, like, really being able to hear, okay, that was for sure Kyle, because it was not. It wasn't wrong. It mm-hmm. just wasn't as good as this next part that had nothing to do with what I wrote. Yeah. I mean, it may have been the words that I wrote down on paper, but the way they were expressed or the way they were given were wildly different. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, and I it's fun because when I do record them, and I can tell those days where I've got that tension within me, like, do I bring this up or not? I'm like, I didn't prep it, so I'm not going to at all. This whole new idea. And then I can tell that I'm fighting it while I'm
yeah.
delivering.
Yeah. Yeah. I have this new thing with Life Teen is just saying, I've said it multiple times of, I'm going to try something and it may not work, but we're going to try it anyway,
mm-hmm.
which is, I feel like, and usually it's in the moment I'm deciding we're going to do something that I have not planned out yet. And it's really fun to do that, I think. Anyway, what else you got, Father? Do we have any announcements? Myself and somebody else are going to do the podcast next week. The week after that, Father and somebody's going to do it. And then I think we got to take a week off. Doesn't that sound right?
I think that's what we were doing.
Yeah.
And while we're stalling and checking this out,
yeah.
there is the young adult Bible study going on. Check the bulletin for information. It's Thursday night 7.
Has it started?
Yeah, it started last week. They had a couple people show up. I heard it was a good conversation. I know I talked to some people after Mass on Sunday. The next couple weeks we got more people coming for sure. So come join that out if you are a young adult and you get to declare yourself if you are or not. If you're a young adult at heart, that is good enough.
All right, on. All right, I don't have anything else. Do you?
Nope, that's it, because we're doing that. And then, yeah, I think we do miss 1 week.
Well, I know we miss a week. I just don't know where it is.
I think it was Memorial
Day. We'll try to keep you guys updated. Guys, thanks for listening. We really appreciate you. If you guys have any questions, feel free to hit us up. I didn't check the emails, by the way.
I checked the other day. We didn't have any ones. Oh, we forgot to work one in.
Isn't the number 3, every time the number 3 appears, it is in reflection of Trinity?
Yep. Are we recording again?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay, we may have edited something out. So blah, blah, blah. Yes, anytime we hear 3. You weren't using your podcast tone. I wasn't sure. Anytime we hear the number 3, it should reference the Trinity. And so when we see the Trinity, so here specifically, the person asked about Lent, some of the passion events, or maybe make number 3 other parts of the gospel, or the 3 kings visit Jesus at the time of his birth. Jesus lost in the temple for 3 days. And so with that, we think of the Trinity, all 3 persons, and they're infinite. And so sometimes it's going to reference an infinite occurrence. And so like one of the things that came to me once when I prayed was, and this is personal prayer thing, not official church teaching, but I think it's in line with it, is when Christ is carrying his cross, he falls 3 times and he keeps getting up. And my prayer that day was on my sinfulness and was how I fall an infinite number of times, it seems. But my job is to continue to get up and ask God for help.
And so, rely on others. That's
and
the
rely
other
on
one.
Others. Yeah. And then the Simon of Cyrene.
Yep. Well, and then Peter denying Christ 3 times. We're going to deny Christ
an infinite
amount of times.
And he will an infinite number of times come back to us and ask us, do we love him? And and then so with the 3 days in the tomb, obviously that points to it. And so it's not always going to be a perfect correlation, but you could, I think, take it to prayer and say, sometimes our life feels like God is gone forever.
Yeah.
And where God is infinitely distance himself from us.
I hadn't thought about it that way.
But he's not. So we know he's always close. So it would typically tie in, and that's why we have that. And so like 7 is always either tied in with creation or covenant. 8 is always the new creation, because Jesus resurrects on the 8th day of the week.
6 is always unfinished.
6 is unfinished, which is,
12 is usually the 12 tribes or the apostles. I'm trying to think some other ones. Okay, the second question on here, let's just get to this real quick. Sometimes Jesus tells the people he has healed miraculously not to tell anyone. Why does he tell them that?
Because it's not time for him to die. So he knows that if people think he's, or people know that he's doing these good things, they're going to think he's the Messiah, or I guess know he's the Messiah. And as he says in several parts of the gospel, it's not my hour, it's not my time yet. And he knows that if they come to make him king, that Rome isn't going to like that. They're going to put him to death, which is what happens. I mean, that's the accusation that he gets put to death for, the king of the Jews. And so he knows it's not the timing for it, which is why, like Matthew does it, but it's in Caesarea Philippi when Peter declares, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he gets the keys of the kingdom. He becomes his successor. Then Jesus is ready to die. Then we see him moving towards Jerusalem. Before that, he's moving away from Jerusalem.
Oh.
And so it's just that idea of it's not time for him to die yet.
Oh, that's cool. All right, I hope that answers your questions. Feel free to email us any other questions. We're going to try to get to as many of them as we can. And we'll do a better job of remembering before we start the podcast. And so we hope you have a great week. And thanks for listening.
God bless.